Netzrauschen, die Radiosendung von Mur.at.
Hello and welcome to Netzrauschen, the broadcast from Mur.at where we cover topics related to digital society, media art and net politics. We broadcast Tuesdays every 4 weeks from 10 to 10:30 here on Radio Helsinki. All informations regarding the broadcast and further links to our guests you can find as usual on helsinki.at. Past episodes become part of the podcast archive that you can download at netzrauschen.mur.at. In this edition with me, Andreas Zingele, I interview Lana Matires, who is finishing her Mur.at summer internship. Lana will continue another semester at the Erasmus Master Degree in Media Art Cultures in Lodz in Poland. During her internship, she has been working on the participation of Mur.at at this year's NetArt Biennial, organizing the virtual pavilion named UnArchive. Hello Lana, I want to introduce you a bit to our listeners. You were born in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, and have a bachelor's degree in film studies. Since 2009, you have been working with audiovisual preservation, going through different film archives and diverse workshops in the field. You are often involved in artistic projects. You value the open knowledge initiatives, and you have diverse interests like analog photography, DIY repair and upcycling, archival investigations, and in general, the history of technology. At the moment, you are in Graz working with us as part of your summer internship. Welcome, Lana. So you are a master's student at the Media Arts Cultures. Can you tell us more about the program and the different universities you have been studying so far?
This master's degree in Media Arts Cultures themes of it's a transdisciplinary course focused on emerging fields related to the cultural heritage of media arts cultures. Media art can be understood as forms of art that involve electronic media, film, and technology as an artistic medium. But depending on the theoretical background, it can be discussed that every piece of art is mediatic, meaning that it is based in some kind of medium. So Media Arts Cultures is a lot about art and technology. The difference between the universities and semesters, the first semester in the Donau University Krems in Austria, we had several individual lectures with different professors. There were two main topics and two main written assignments. One was media art histories and media cultural heritage, and the other was infrastructures for media arts cultures, digital archiving and preservation. In the second semester in the Aalborg University, Denmark, the main topic was experience design in media arts cultures, from concept to production. We also had several invited professors there who were artists talking about their work. and we were focused on producing an artwork collectively. This university has this method of PBL, problem-based learning. And so there is practical work in groups, presentations of the development of the project, and advising sessions. In our case, the groups were randomly formed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very interesting program and approach that you are each semester in a different university, in a different country in Europe, mm-hmm. and therefore can travel a lot, but also experience different universities, different methodologies. Mm-hmm. I was wondering also what lectures did you took so far? You said in Krems they were focusing on preservation and archiving. And so what is the focus that you put for yourself within this program?
Yes, for me the most interesting part is the one related to archiving and preservation. The themes of cultural heritage and digital preservation were what attracted me to the program. But some lectures I liked, they were very diverse lectures in with different professors in the first semesters. And the ones I liked the most, I think, there were lectures with Patricia Falcón and Diego Melhado, who talked about the anatomy of time-based media artwork and risk assessment. Also, Anna Peraica's classes about art criticism and Richard Kluzinski about the theory around the concept of new media and media art. And Rodrigo Guzmán, who talked about looking at and writing about art.
So, as far as I understood it, it's a very international study mm-hmm. program.
Yes.
So, how many students are in your class and from how many countries do they come?
We are 26 students. I don't remember, but for like 20 countries, it's a very, mm-hmm. very diverse.
Okay. So you're an extremely diverse group of students, and then you are in three or four different universities within 2 years, a very short time. What are the challenges for you or also for your peers to study in Europe?
The money exchange makes it expensive to be here, depending on where you come from and on your financial situation. In my case, having a scholarship made it possible. Still, sometimes it is difficult to be far from your family and not being able to go back often. And specifically in this master's program, the main challenge is moving every semester to a new country. So because you meet and leave people behind and you have to deal with different bureaucracies of visa, registries, health insurance and different health systems, currencies and idioms, finding new places to live, going through different university styles, platforms, applications. So it ends up being part of the work to deal with these issues. But of course, we also learn going through this. And we also had to find a short-term summer internship. And I'm happy that a placement was offered by Murate and that I was accepted.
Se Deus existe, só eu posso chorar quando estou triste. Só eu cá com meus botões de carne e osso. Eu falo e ouço, eu penso e posso. Eu posso decidir se vivo ou morro. Por quê? Porque sou vivo, vivo pra cachorro. E sei que cérebro eletrônico nenhum me dá socorro em meu caminho inevitável para a morte. Sou vivo.
cativo. E sei que cérebro eletrônico nenhum me dá socorro com seus botões de ferro e seus olhos de vidro. Chorar quando estou triste, só eu cá com meus botões de carne e osso. Eu falo e ouço, eu penso e posso. Eu posso decidir se vivo ou morro. Por quê? Porque sou vivo, vivo um cachorro. E sei que cérebro eletrônico nenhum me dá socorro com seus botões de ferro e seus olhos de vidro.
Yeah, Murte had a very specific internship call to the students. We are participating in this year's NetArts Biennial and we're searching for students who want to help us shape, organize a virtual pavilion for this NetArts Biennial. This pavilion summarizes this year's artistic program, a tribute to Aaron Swartz, who died 10 years ago. Then the residency from Ricardo Chines from Tactical Tech on do-it-yourself archiving, and the work lab that we organized at the end of June here in Graz. So my question would be to you also, do you know or did you know Aaron Swartz before you started with the internship?
Yes, I knew Aaron Swartz, but I knew about him superficially, and I admired the defense of open knowledge. Now I got to know his work better through this research, and it's amazing the amount of interesting projects he got involved in a short lifetime. I don't remember how and when I got to know him, but 2013 was a year when many protests happened in Brazil against the World Football Cup and the Olympic Games that were approaching and happened there in 2014. And it was a moment of a lot of political discussion, or a moment when I was reading a lot about it. So maybe I knew of his death that year. I might have gotten to know about him before through his protests against the Stop Online Piracy Act, or maybe after, because there's this crypto rave event which happens in São Paulo once a year and has 36 hours of lectures and discussions about security, privacy, cryptography, etc. And this event has some rooms for the discussions, and those rooms are named after some hacktivists and computer programmers. And I went to watch part of this event in 2019, and one of those rooms was named Aaron.
Yeah, we will also put a link to the crypto rave in the description. During our research, we also found a Russian woman who is providing free public access to academic journals by releasing them from the paywalls. Her name is Alexandra Elbakian. Can you tell us more about her, Lana?
Alexandra Elbakian is a computer scientist and cyber activist born in Kazakhstan, who at 23 years old in 2011 developed the Sci-Hub, a platform that gives free access to academic journals, surpassing editors' paywalls. She defends that restricting access to information and knowledge is not legal, and the current operation of academic publishing industry is violating human rights.
Yeah, so the Sci-Hub platform is quite a famous platform for academic journals. A lot of the articles and journals, book chapters can be found there, with changing domain names because they get restricted by internet service providers and blocked. We also tried to contact her to get an interview from her. But since she didn't reply it, we also listened to a lot of interviews and talks that she gave at other universities and found her an interesting person, and that also works in the spirit of Aaron Swartz, providing access to knowledge and releasing academic publications from the paywalls. 10 years after Aaron's death, we want to revisit the technological developments and the social implications that happened since then. And also in the work lab, we discussed where are we standing today and who is advocating for the issues that Aaron was standing for. And on the one hand, in the virtual pavilion, we want to showcase the outcome of the residency from Ricardo and also provide a detailed documentation of the work lab. But also, and this was thanks to your contribution also, we were looking at artists and artworks to create an online exhibition. And this exhibition consists of international artists and their perspectives who work with archives, with different collections, or have artworks that are questioning the status quo of open knowledge through their creative artistic expressions. Lana, do you want to present some of the works from the artists that we selected?
Yes, I'm going to read partially the text of their description. And so the work of the artist Tabitha Hezer, featured in this exhibition, is the video essay Afro Cyber Resistance from 2014. It was adapted from her text of the same title and questions the democratic aspect of the internet space. It explores internet art practices in South Africa as a manifestation of cultural dissent towards Western hegemony. Looking at digital, cultural, and political means of resistance and media activism on the internet, Afro-cyber resistance is a socially engaged gesture that aims to challenge the representation of African bodies and cultures through online practices. Another artist, Huda Takriti. Huda Takriti's work is also a short digital video from 2022, Refusing to Meet Your Eye. It starts from a historical event of political protest, the hijack of the flight TWA-840 by members of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. The flight was on its way from Rome to Tel Aviv and was diverted to Damascus Airport. Leila Khaled, the first female hijacker who described details of the operation and its intentions in her autobiography, stated that a photographer hired by the PFLP to document the event for archival purposes for an incident ended up with only a black photograph. From this black photograph, the artist reflects on what images can tell us, historiography and the processes of archival truth-making. The work makes connections between available footage, existing images, and computer-generated imagery, and proposes to the viewer a kaleidoscopic narrative where images occupy many positions: archival, historical, familiar, strange, and fictional. Past, present, and future are overlapped temporally and spatially.
So in the online exhibition, we want to showcase these works. We will have links to the websites or to the video footage of the artworks. We will also include all the interviews that we produced along the way when we were interviewing the artists, either for the Netzrauschen radio program or providing background information and talking about their working progress. And additionally to the work from Tabitha and Huda that you were now shortly mentioning, we also have artists such as Miguel Rangel, who has been working on Hyperconnected Past, a project in collaboration with the Austrian National Library. Then we have Pim Zwier, who has been working for several years with archives and collections in Germany and visualizing their archives. It's been part of installations and interactive websites. And then we have Nestor Siré from Cuba and Stephen Kern, who have been working on a game called Packetown and who have been researching the offline internet distribution channels of Cuban internet. And some other artists that we don't want to spoil now, but that we will still interview in upcoming episodes. So the virtual pavilion will be online from November till March next year. And we are already looking forward to the opening. And of course, thank all the participants for their work and their efforts. We will also have some screenings of documentary of Aaron Swartz, The Internet on Boy, and a panel discussion with involved artists and participants from the work lab. And of course, also a thank you to you, Lana, for working with us over the summer and on this project. So we are coming to an end of this episode. Maybe we can still have time for a bit of an outlook. Lana, do you have any ideas what kind of lectures and program is awaiting you in Lodz in the next semester?
In this third semester, our classes have a more fixed schedule with the same professors throughout the whole semester. So it is more similar to my previous experience of university courses, and I am more comfortable with it. And the courses are game culture and gamification, curatorship and management, interactive art, research skills and methods, and new media aesthetics. You have to choose between some of those, and some are obligatory.
And after the semester in Poland, you still have to work on a thesis, right? Is this then independent where you are doing it, or can you choose, like, who will be your supervisor, in which university will you do it, or...
More or less, I think they assign us to according to our team, to the universities and the professors who will be our advisors.
And will this then be, do you have to move again to a different location or to one of the universities you have been studying?
I think so. I'm not sure if we have to be in person in a specific country.
Okay. If you can also do it remotely, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas already for your master's thesis or any?
My main idea is about the particularities of new media art preservation workflow in comparison to analog and digital film and audiovisual preservation. But that still needs to be narrowed down. And I'm also interested in researching about access to cultural heritage, archives, and open knowledge. So my experience in this internship with the curatorship for the Murate Pavilion at the Rome Biennale was also an inspiration for my future research.
Okay, thank you, Lana, very much.
Thank you.
That was another episode of Netzrauschen, a broadcast by Murate. All links you can find in the program information on helsinki.at. You can listen to past episodes of our program on netzrauschen.mur.at and in the cultural broadcast archive at cba.media. Andreas Zingerle says goodbye and we'll hear each other next time.